بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our third session from Medina Book 1, Reading Comprehension Course. And today, inshallah, we will be covering the review of lessons 5 and 6. Today, inshallah, we will be reviewing lessons 5 and 6. The format that we will be following is as we have the same format that we have followed in the past. And that is, we're going to begin with a vocabulary review, which is oral translation of vocabulary from the lesson that we are covering. And we'll give you some words in Arabic. You have to give us the English equivalent, and we'll give you some words in English, and you will give us the Arabic equivalent. So the first part of the session for each lesson will be the vocabulary review, which is oral translation. No need to write it down, just orally translate. The second part of the session for each lesson will be reading and translation of the selected text from that particular lesson. The selected text that you should have read and reviewed and translated for homework during the week preceding this session. In that reading, we will not only translate, we will try to identify the new words that are coming for the first time in this particular lesson, and we will also try to identify and analyze the new grammar points and word relationships, yani the relationship between the mudhaf and mudhaf ilayhi in this particular lesson, or yani in a sentence the relationship between the mubtada and khabar, and so on. The third part of the lesson for each chapter will be two exercises. The first exercise, and these exercises will require you to close the book, and we're just gonna yani go upon depend upon what we can understand from what we hear. So the first exercise will be listening skills, in which I'll read the sentence twice. The first time, just listen and make sure you understand it and hear it well. And the second time, you can translate orally. No need to write it down. This will be oral translation, listening and orally translating. The second skill will be dictation skills. And in this exercise, we'll read each expression or sentence or question or answer three times. The first time, listen for comprehension and memorization. The second time, try to write what you hear. And the third time, to catch what you may have missed or to confirm that you have written it correctly. Okay, so there are four parts of each lesson. The first part is going to be vocabulary review. Second part is going to be reading and translation, in which we'll identify new words and analyze grammar points and word relationships. The third part will be listening skills exercise, and the fourth part will be dictation skills exercise. So let us begin today, inshallah. As I mentioned, we're going to be reviewing, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, lessons 5 and 6. Quick review of the previous lessons that we covered. Yani the main points that we covered in lesson number 1 is the ism ishara, the demonstrative pronoun. Yani hadha. This ism ishara is used for things which are singular, and they are masculine, and they are near. And it can be used both to refer to human beings or other than human beings. Yani aql and ghayr aql. Also in this lesson we had the asma al-istifham, question words or interrogatives. Men, asking about people. Ma, asking about things. And hamzat al-istifham, the answer to which would be na'am or la. In the second lesson we had thalika, the ism ishara, which is also singular. And it's used for masculine, but it is used for things which are far, as opposed to hadha, used for things which are near. Dharika is for things which are far. In the third lesson we had the definite article, alif lam, ta'rif, and the comparison between words that are definite and indefinite. Words that have alif lam, which are definite, and words which have tanween, which are indefinite. In the fourth lesson, we had two main things, that is, حروف الجر, yani prepositions, في, على, من, and إلى. And we also had ضمائر, pronouns, like أنا, أنت, هو, and هي. And it was also mentioned in lesson 4, that feminine proper nouns have no تنوين, they are ممنوع من الصرف. Okay, so today, inshallah, again, we're going to be taking covering بإذن الله تعالى lessons 5 and 6. And the main points in lesson 5 will be the إضافة construction and an introduction to the ظرف, ظرف المكان, تحت, which means underneath, and also يا النداء, the vocative يا, and the word that comes after it, the منادى. In lesson 6, we'll be dealing with the اسم إشارة for feminine things, which are singular, and نية, that is هذه, and also the fact that feminine nouns and adjectives, or nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding تا مربوطة, generally speaking. We also have the preposition لي, which means belongs to or for, in this particular lesson. That's what we're going to be covering today, بإذن الله تعالى. Okay, let's begin with the first part of the lesson, and that is the vocabulary review. That is oral translation of Arabic words to English and English words to Arabic. These are vocabulary words that came in lesson 5, and the purpose of this part of the lesson, the vocabulary review, is for you to know how well you have learned the vocabulary and what you need to be working on. So, in this exercise, it's going to be oral translation. All you have to do is, if you get it right, just put a check. If you get it wrong, put an X. So that way you know at the end of the exercise, out of 10 or 15 or 20 words, how many you got correct and how many you missed. So you see, yani, if you need further review or not. Okay, so let's begin oral review or vocabulary review, oral translation. No need to write the words, just after I repeat the word, you can just orally translate. If you get it right, put a check. If you miss it, put an X. Okay, so the first set of words, you're going to be doing Arabic to English. So I'm going to give you an Arabic word, and you should give me the English equivalent. Okay, the first word, Ar-Rasool. Again, Ar-Rasool, meaning the messenger. By the way, this word should be distinguished from An-Nabi, An-Nabiyu, which means the prophet. Second word, Al-Ammu, with Ayn and Shadd on the Meem. Al-Ammu, meaning the uncle, or more specifically, the paternal uncle, yani the brother of your father. Number three, Ash-Shari'u. Ash-Shari'u, with Ayn, the last letter being Ayn. Ash-Shari'u, its meaning, the street. It also has another meaning, yani the one who legislates, yani the one who legislates the Sharia. Next word, Al-Ka'batu, with Kaf and Ayn, and Ta Mabuto on the end. Al-Ka'batu. Al-Ka'batu means the Kaaba, yani the house of Allah in Mecca. The next word, Al-Khalu. Al-Khalu, meaning uncle, but more specifically, maternal uncle, your mother's brother. Next word, Mughlaqun. Again, Mughlaqun, with Ghain and Qaf. Mughlaqun means something that is closed or shut or locked. Next word, Al-Ismu. Al-Ismu, meaning name, the name, someone's name. It also means a noun. The next word, Al-Haqibatu, with Ha as in Halal and Qaf as in Qamar. Al-Haqibatu. Al-Haqibatu, meaning a bag or a case or a briefcase. Okay, now we're going to do the next set of words, which we're going to give you English words, and you have to translate them into Arabic. English words that you have to translate into Arabic. The first word, under or beneath, yani like underneath the table, under or beneath. In Arabic it is tahta, tahta. The next word, son, yani like the son of someone, the father and son. In Arabic, al-ibnu, al-ibnu. Next word, car, yani the car or the automobile that somebody drives. In Arabic, as-sayyaratu, as-sayyaratu, with shadda on the scene and shadda on the ya, as-sayyaratu. The next word, here, like I am over here, H-E-R-E, here. In Arabic, huna, huna. The next word, there, over there. Yani here and there, over there, T-H-E-R-E. In Arabic, hunaka, hunaka. The next word, daughter or girl, the daughter or the girl. Someone's daughter. In Arabic, al-bintu, al-bintu. The next word, doctor, doctor, like a medical doctor in the hospital, doctor. In Arabic, al-tabibu, al-tabibu. By the way, these last two words, al-bint wa tabib, are not in the Arabic vocabulary. They are not in the Arabic vocabulary, and also at-tabib also came previously in another lesson. There's one more word that we want to add here. It's not here in the English vocabulary, but it is given in the Arabic vocabulary for lesson 5, and that is the word engineer. The engineer, like an electrical engineer, or a construction engineer, or a computer engineer. Engineer. In Arabic it is al-muhandisu. Al-muhandisu. This word, yani, if you want to, you may make a note of it that it's not given in the English key vocabulary for lesson 5, but it's in the Arabic vocabulary. Al-muhandisu. Okay, this is what we wanted to cover in terms of the first part of the lesson, the vocabulary review, oral translation. So, if you put a check next to everyone that you translated correctly, and an X next to the ones that you missed, you should have a good idea of whether or not you need a lot more review, or you're doing just fine, alhamdulillah. And I hope that inshallah everybody's doing just fine. Okay, the next part of the lesson is going to be the reading and translation of the selected text. The reading and translation of the selected text, primarily noting the identifying new vocabulary words and new grammar points and word relationships. Before we do that reading, I just want to quickly review the things that are covered in terms of grammatical points, the things that are covered in this particular lesson that are new. Number one, al-idhafa. Yani al-idhafa, the relationship between two words. Sometimes in English it's referred to as the construct phrase. And it is joining together in a new construction two words, two independent words, giving a new meaning by joining them together, such as kitabun, a book, and muhammadun, Muhammad. When you put them together in the construct phrase, it becomes kitabu muhammadin. Yani kitabun loses its tanween, kitabu, and muhammadun changes from marfu'un to majrurun with kasra, kitabu muhammadin. Yani so kitabun, a book, and Muhammadun, the name of a person, becomes Kitabu Muhammadin, the book of Muhammad. Okay, so the construct phrase, it is composed of two parts. That is, the Mudhafu, which is the thing possessed, generally speaking, and Al-Mudhafu Ilayhi, which is the possessor, generally speaking. Because this construct phrase has more than one meaning, it has other meanings besides the possessor and the possessed. But in any way, that's the way they normally introduce it, that one part is the possessor and the other part is the possessed. In any case, it shows a relationship between the two words, and there are various types of relationships that it may express. The first part of the construct phrase is called al-mudhafu, and they generally say that is the possessed, and al-mudhafu ilayhi, the possessor. Kitabu Muhammadin, kitab is the thing possessed, Muhammad is the possessor of the book. What we want to know about the mudhaf and mudhaf ilayhi is that the mudhaf, it loses its tanween when you put it into the idafa construction. So kitabun becomes kitabu. And also the mudhaf loses its alif lam if it had alif lam. When you put it into the construct phrase, you have to remove the alif lam or the Tanween. So it neither takes Aleph Lam or Tanween. As far as the Mudaf Ilayhi, it changes from being Marfu'un with Dhamma to being Majroor with Kasra. If it had a single Dhamma in the original word, then it takes a single Kasra. If it had a double Dhamma, it takes a double Kasra. Okay, so what we want to note about the Mudaf is that it never takes Aleph Lam or Tanween, and the Mudaf Ilayhi, it will take either one, Aleph Lam or Tanween, but what is important is that it changes its case ending from being Marfu'un with a single or double Dhamma to becoming Majroor with a single or double Kasra. The second thing we want to note in this lesson, or that is covered in terms of new grammatical points, is Al-Munada. Yani the word that comes after Ya and Nida. The word that comes after Ya and Nida. It's called Al-Munada. So if you're calling Muhammad, yani you say Ya Muhammadu. So Ya, yani, is the Harf Nida, and Muhammad is the Al-Munada, the one that's being called. Okay, when you're trying to get somebody's attention, Ya Muhammadu, or Ya Ustadhu. And this has some further details in terms of the Munada and its I'rab, which we'll discuss now. We'll talk about it in the future when we reach some of the yani advanced explanation for the Munada. But in any case, right now we'll just say that the Munada is Mabniyun ala Dhamma. Yani it's fixed on a single Dhamma. It doesn't have Tanween, even though it may originally have had Tanween, but it doesn't take Tanween, and it's going to always be Dhamma at this stage, until we see it when it's connected in an idafa construction, or it has other yani types of things to consider. But for now, we'll say the basic Munada, yani the proper noun when you're calling somebody, or even a common noun if you are identifying a specific person, yani al-nakira al-maqsooda bin nida. If it is yani a word that is nakira, it's indefinite, but you intending a particular person, then in this case it's going to be mabniun ala dhamma. In any case, for now, the munada, we're going to see it's going to take a single dhamma after ya and nida, so it loses its tanween. Also in this lesson, we're going to see the dharf al-makan, the adverb of place, tahta. Tahta means beneath or underneath. And what we want to know about the dharf is that this dharf al-makan, like tahta, and later on we'll see also amama and khalfa and inda and ma'a, that these words, these adverbs of place, the word following them is going to be mudafun ilayhi majroor. So it's going to be an idafa construction. That means that the word following them is going to be majroor with kasra. And the last thing that I want to mention here is that there are certain types of words in the Arabic language. We're going to see one of them in this lesson that are called mabniyun. Mabniyun means they are fixed. Their ending is fixed. It doesn't change. Even though they're in the position where they should be marfu'un, they're not going to take dhamma. Even if they're in the position where they should be majroorun, they're not going to take kasra. And even if they were in the position where they should be mansub, they're not going to take fatha. Rather, whatever the ending is, whether it could be a fatha, a kasra, or a dhamma, or a sukoon, whatever that ending is, it's fixed on that. It doesn't change because of its function in the sentence, yani as being in the position of being marfu'un or mansubun or majroorun, it's not going to change. So in this lesson, we're going to see the word men, yani which means who, men. And we're going to see that this word is fixed, yani it's mabniun ala sukoon. So it's always going to be a sukoon. Even if it's the mudaf ilayhi where it should be majroor, we're going to say it is mabniun in the place where it should be majroor. Okay, so we're going to see that in this lesson. Words that are indeclinable. In Arabic, it's called mabniun. In this particular case, this word is mabniun ala sukoon. It could be mabniun ala fatta, kasra, or dhamma. This one is mabniun ala sukoon. It is, if it is the mudaf ilayhi, we say it's mabniyun ala sukoon, and it's in the place where it should be majroor because it's mudaf ilayhi. And the same thing if it was in the place where it should be marfu'un, we'll say it's yani mabniyun, but it's in the place where it should be marfu'un, yani fi mahalli raf or nasb or whatever. Okay, so in this lesson we have the idafa construction, and we also have al munada, the word that comes after ya nida. And we also have yani words that are indeclinable, mabniyun, that have fixed endings. And we also have the dharf, tahta, which it's always going to be followed by a noun that's going to be mudaf ilayhi majroor. And the last thing that we have in this word, we have words that begin with Hamzatul Wasl, like Ibnun and Ismun. Words that begin with Hamzatul Wasl, the rule concerning them is that the vowel for Ibnu and Ismun, Ibnun and Ismun, the vowel for such words that begin with Hamzatul Wasl is only pronounced when you begin with that word. If there's another word before it, yani a noun, an adjective, a preposition, any word before it, you're not going to pronounce the vowel of this type of word. Ismun, ibnun, and so on. Words like this. And we'll see other words like that in the future. So what we want to know here is that words that begin with Hamzatul Wasl, yani the vowel is only going to be pronounced if you begin with that word. So for example, if a person said, Ismi Muhammadun. My name is Muhammad. So you see you're pronouncing the kasra. But if somebody said, what is your name? Ma ismuka. You're not going to pronounce the kasra. So you're not going to say ma ismuka, you're going to say masmuka without pronouncing the vowel of Hamzatul Wasl. So this is what we're going to cover in this particular lesson. Al-Idalfa, Al-Munada, the Dharf, Tahta. I'm going to see words like Ibnun and Ismun. And we're also going to see in this lesson Huna and Hunaka, here and there. Okay, so let's go on, to this second part of the lesson. After taking a quick review of the grammatical points that we're going to see in this lesson, let's read and translate the selected text. Okay, the selected text for this lesson is very brief, but in any case, we're going to go through it, and we're going to see some of, what we just talked about in terms of the grammatical points that are covered in this particular lesson. So we're reading, this text was from lesson 5, page 27, the first page of lesson 5. At the top of the lesson it says, Ad-Darsu Al-Khamisu. Ad-Darsu Al-Khamisu, the fifth lesson. And this is a conversation, Hiwar, between Sa'id and Yasir, and also Ali is also in this conversation, okay? So, Sa'id begins, and he says, and keeping in mind, we're going to be looking in this lesson to see idalfa constructions, okay? Because it's very important that we recognize relationships between words. So we're going to be looking for the idalfa construction, and we're going to also be looking for, the adverb of place, tahta, and we're going to also, be looking at, if there's any case of ya and nida, the particle of calling, and the munada, the word that comes after it being mabniun ala dhamma, it loses its sukoon. And we can also see, perhaps we'll see some prepositions, ja wal majrur. So we'll be looking for those things primarily. We may see from the previous lessons other things like pronouns, huwa and hiya, and so on. Okay, so let's kind of look at all of these things. Alif, Lam, and Tanween, words being definite or indefinite, Mudaf, Mudaf, Ilay, prepositions, and the object of the preposition, Ja' wal Majrur. We're going to be looking at what we covered, what is new in this lesson, primarily, but also what we covered previously. Okay, Sa'id says, Akitabu Muhammadin Hadha, Ya Yasiru. Akitabu Muhammadin Hadha, Ya Yasiru. Akitabu Muhammadin means, Hamzatul Istifham means a question, right? Kitabu Muhammadin means the book of Muhammad. This is an idafa construction. Kitabu Muhammadin. Kitab is the mudaf and Muhammadin is the mudaf ilayhi. In this case, it is a relationship of the possessed, the thing possessed and the possessor. Kitabu is the possessed and Muhammadin is the possessor. And what we said about the idafa construction, we said that the mudaf, first part of the idafa construction, never takes alif, lam, or tanween. So we see it has a single vowel here. And the second part of the idafa construction is going to either take alif, lam, or tanween. What is important is that its i'rab is going to be mudafun ilayhi majroor. So it's going to be majroor. That means it's going to have a single or a double kasra. If it has alif, lam, it'll take a single kasra. If it doesn't have alif, lam, it'll take a double kasra. So we see that in this idafa construction, this construct phrase, yani kitabu Muhammadin, the book of Muhammad. Hadha is the ism ishara that we had in lesson 1, and the meaning here is أَكِتَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ هَذَا is this, هَذَا that I'm pointing to with هَذَا is this, the book of Muhammad. يَا أَوْ يَاسِرٌ يَاسِرٌ is the name of a male. It's a masculine proper noun. Generally speaking, masculine proper nouns take tanween. But here we see Yasiru has a single dhamma, and that's because it is the munada. And the proper noun, when it is a munada after ya and nida, and it's not in an idafa construction itself, it's just a single word without being an idafa, then it's going to be mabniun upon dhamma. So it loses its tanween and becomes a single dhamma. So again, ya is the vocative Ya, yani, when you're calling out to get somebody's attention. Yasiru is the proper noun, the person that is being called the munada. Ya, yasiru. What's the rule concerning ya nida? The munada that follows it is going to be fixed, mabniyun, upon dhamma, single dhamma. It loses its tanween if it originally had one. Okay, again, akitabu muhammadin hadha is this, that I'm pointing to, is this the book of Muhammad? Ya Yasiru, O Yasir? Yasir responds by saying, La. Comma means pause. La. Hatha kitabu hamidin. Hatha kitabu hamidin. So the question was, is this the book of Muhammad? O Yasir? Yasir says, La. No. Hatha kitabu hamidin. No. This is the book of Hamid. Again, you have hadha, which is the ism ishara, singular, used for things which are near and masculine. And it can be used to refer to people or things. Here it is referring to an inanimate thing, ghayra aqil. Okay, but it can also refer to human beings. Is this the book of Muhammad? La, hadha kitabu hamidin. No, this is the book of Hamid. The construct phrase here is kitabu hamidin. And what we said concerning the rules of idhafa is that the first part of the idhafa, the mudhaf, never takes alif lam or tanween. So it takes a single vowel. And the second part of the idhafa construction, in this case hamidin, either takes alif lam or tanween. But what is important is that its case ending changes from being marfu'un with dhamma to being majrurun with kasra. So we see it's going to take kasra, either a single kasra if it has alif lam, or double kasra if it does not have alif lam. Sayyid says, Aina kitabu Muhammadin? Where is the book of Muhammad? Yani, if this is not the book of Muhammad, this is the book of Hamid. So Sayyid now asks, Aina kitabu Muhammadin? Where is the book of Muhammad? Here, again, we have a construct phrase, again, kitabu Muhammadin, mudaf, mudaf ilayhi. The mudaf doesn't take alif lam or tanween, it takes a single vowel, and the mudaf ilayhi is going to be majroor with kasra. Single kasra or double kasra? Here we see it has a double kasra. Muhammadin. Yasir says, in answer to that, where's the book of Muhammad? Huwa ala al-maktabi hunaka. Huwa ala al-maktabi hunaka. It is on the desk. Or the table. Hunaka, over there. Yani hunaka is used to point to something that is far. Hunaka, as opposed to huna, which means something near. Huwa ala al-maktabi, hunaka. It is on the desk, over there. Here I want to note, huwa is a pronoun. Pronouns refer back to something else. Here it's referring back to what? Huwa is referring back to what? Huwa ala al-maktabi hunaka. It is, yani meaning what? The book of Muhammad. Huwa ala al-maktabi hunaka. And what we want to know about pronouns is that pronouns can be used. Huwa can be used to refer to a human being or to an inanimate thing. Ghayra aqil. Okay, here it's referring back to kitab. But it also can refer back to a human being as well. What is important, it has to be referring to something that is huwa, something that is masculine and that is singular. Masculine and singular. And then we have the ja wal majroor, the preposition and the object of the preposition, ala al maktabi. And what we said in concerning prepositions is that the object of the preposition is ism majroor. It's a noun that's going to be majroor in the genitive case. And the primary sign of a word when it's majroor is going to be Kesra. So here, from this, we are reminded, in lesson 4 we had prepositions, and we said that the object of the preposition, the word following it, is going to be Majroor. And now in this lesson 5, we're also learning in the Idhafa construction, the second part of the Idhafa construction, the Mudhaf Ilayhi, is also Majroor. So now we have two reasons why a word can be Majroor. Either it's the object of the preposition, or it's the second part of an Idhafa construction, the Mudhaf Ilayhi. And any other word that's Majroor is going to be because it's connected to something else. These are the two primary reasons in Arabic language why a word is going to be Majroor. Either it's the object of a preposition, or it is the Mudhaf Ilayhi, second part of an Idhafa construction. Anything else is only going to be Majroor because it's an adjective, and it has to agree with the word that it's describing, or it is a Bedel, and it has to agree with the word that it is substituting for, or something like this. But originally, words are Majroor for two reasons. Either they're the object of a preposition, or the Mudhaf Ilayhi. So we have seen both of them in these two lessons, 4 and now in 5. Okay, Sayyid says, أين دفتر عمار؟ أين دفتر عمار؟ I'm not completely sure, but I think دفتر is a new word. It's not in the vocabulary here. دفتر is not in the vocabulary here. Not in the English key or in the Arabic text, as far as I know. But in any case, I think it's a new word. Daftar means a notebook, as opposed to kitab, which means like a textbook. Something is already written in it, printed inside of it. Daftar is a notebook, sometimes referred to as a copy book, yani a book in which you copy your notes in. Daftar. Aina daftaru ammarin. Where is the notebook of Ammar? Ammar is the proper noun, a masculine proper noun. In this sentence, we have the idafa construction, daftaru ammarin. Daftaru is the mudaf, never takes alif lam or tanween. Ammarin is the mudaf ilayhi, and it's always going to be majroor, either with a single kasra or double kasra. Here, since it doesn't have alif lam, there's a double kasra tanween. If the mudaf ilayhi had alif lam attached to it, then it's not going to take a double kasra. It's going to take kasra, but it's going to be a single kasra. Why? Because the word cannot have alif lam and tanween at the same time. So far, we have seen the mudaf ilayhi all have a double kasra. But we will see later on as we go along some examples where the mudaf ilayhi has alif lam. So it would not take a double kasra, it would take a single kasra. Again, in this statement, aina, or this question, aina daftaru ammarin, what we are noting here is the idafa construction, daftaru ammarin. Daftar is the thing possessed, and Ammar is the possessor, mudafun ilayhi majroor. Yasir says, yani in reference to the question, where is the notebook of Ammar? Huwa ala maktabi al-mudarrisi. Huwa ala maktabi al-mudarrisi. Yani it is on the desk of the teacher. It is on the teacher's desk. So what I want to note here is that we have two words that are majroor, maktabi and al-mudarrisi. And each of them has a reason, a different reason for why they are majroor. So this also reminds us that there are two main reasons why a word can be majroor, either the object of a preposition or the mudaf ilayhi, and we have both of them in this sentence. Huwa ala maktabi al-mudarrisi. Maktabi is majroor because it's the object of the preposition ala, and al-mudarrisi is majroor because it is the second part of an idafa construction, mudafun ilay majroor. Maktab al-mudarris, the desk of the teacher or the teacher's desk. So we have both reasons for a word being majroor here, jawul majroor and al-idafa. Sayyid says, qalamu man hadha ya aliyu. Qalamu man hadha ya aliyu. The pen of who is this? Yani whose pen is this? O Ali. Whose pen is this? Here we have an idafa construction. Qalamu man. The pen of who? Or whose pen? Except that the word man is mabniyun. It's fixed on the ending of sukun. So because of that, even though it's the mudaf ilayhi, but we don't see it taking kasra. No kasra, single kasra or double kasra, and that's because this is a special type of word. It's indeclinable. In Arabic, it's called mabniyun. It doesn't change its ending. Even though here it's the mudaf ilayhi, and it's in the position where it should be majrur, but instead of us saying it's majrur, we say it is mabniyun in the place where it should be majrur. Yani fi mahalli al-jar, fi mahalli al-jar, in the place where it should be majrur. So here I just want you to remember that there are words, and we'll see more of them in the future, that are fixed. Their ending is fixed. It doesn't change according to its function in the sentence, from being, yani from taking dhamma to kasra to fatha. Rather, it has a fixed ending. It could be sukoon, could be fatha in some cases, it could be kasra, it could be dhamma. It doesn't change. Here, this word men is in the position where it should be majrur, because it's what? The mudaf ilayhi. Qalamu men, the pen of who? Whose pen is this? O Ali. Ali answers, هَذَا قَلَمُ الْمُدَرِّسِ هَذَا قَلَمُ الْمُدَرِّسِ This is the pen of the teacher. هَذَا is the مُبْتَدَى قَلَم is the خَبَر and مُدَرِّس is مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ مَجْرُوَ قَلَمُ الْمُدَرِّسِ Sayyid says, أَيْنَ حَقِيبَةُ الْمُدَرِّسِ أَيْنَ حَقِيبَةُ الْمُدَرِّسِ Where is the حَقِيبَة, the bag or the briefcase of the teacher? Again, the idafa construction here is haqibatu al-mudarrisi. Haqiba is the mudaf, doesn't take alif lam or tanween. Al-mudarrisi is the mudaf ilayhi. It can either take alif lam or tanween. What is important is that it has to be majrur with kasra. Here we see, because it has alif lam, it has kasra, but it doesn't have a double kasra. It has a single kasra since it has alif lam. And that's the same thing in the previous example, qalamu al-mudarrisi. Yani, it is mudaf ilayhi majrur. Sign that it's majrur is kasra. It's taking a single kasra because it has alif lam attached to it. Where's the haqiba of the mudarris? Ali answers, hiya tahta al-maktabi. Hiya tahta al-maktabi. It is underneath or beneath the desk, beneath the table. And again, what we want to note here is we have a pronoun, a dhamir, hiya, referring back to what? It's referring back to, obviously, something feminine. It could be a human being. It could be an inanimate thing. غير عقل. In this case, it's referring back to a word that is غير عقل. Because the pronouns can refer to عقل, human beings, or غير عقل, inanimate things or animals. Here it is referring back to, where's the حقيبة of the teacher? Here, يعني, the حقيبة of the teacher is تحت المكتب. It is underneath the table or the desk. Okay, so this is what we're able to cover in terms of this particular dialogue, and hopefully, yani, the vocabulary in it. Haqiba is a new word in this lesson. Tahta is a new word in this lesson. Hunaka, over there, is a new word in this lesson. And Allahu A'lam, I think that daftar, we didn't have it before. Although it's not in the vocabulary of this lesson, not in the English key or in the Arabic vocabulary at the end of the lesson. Okay, let's go on to the next two parts of, yani, the lesson. For this lesson, we also want to do two drills, yani the listening skills and the dictation skills. The listening skills, as we said previously, we're going to read the sentence twice. The first time, just try to listen and make sure you understand what you're hearing. And the second time, you can translate orally. No need to write anything down. You can just translate orally. And then I'll give you the meaning, and you can, same like before, you can, as we did with the vocabulary review, you can just make a check, or an X if you missed it. And then at the end of the exercise, you can see how many you got right and how many you missed. Okay, so listening skills requires you to listen carefully. You don't have to write anything here. This is not dictation. You're just going to translate orally. I'm going to read each sentence, each question, or each answer twice. Okay, I'm going to read it twice. The first time, try to listen. Second time, translate for me. Okay, the first one, and by the way, we're going to do, yani, probably five sentences. Yeah, five sentences for listening. And maybe five sentences also for dictation in the next exercise. Okay, listen up. First time, first reading. Sayyid says, أَكِتَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ هَذَا يَا يَاصِرُ Translate now. أَكِتَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ هَذَا يَا يَاصِرُ The meaning should be, is this the book of Muhammad? O Yasir. Number two. Aina kitabu Muhammadin. Again, translate orally. Aina kitabu Muhammadin. Where is the book of Muhammad? Number three. Aina daftaru Ammarin. Translate orally. Aina daftaru Ammarin. Where is the notebook of Ammar or Ammar's notebook? Number four. Qalamu man hadha ya Aliyu. Translate orally. Qalamu man hadha ya Aliyu. The pen, literally it means the pen of who is this? O Ali, but we'll translate it as whose pen is this? Whose pen? قَلَمُ مَن. The pen of who? Whose pen is هَذَا? This. يَا عَلِيُّ. Whose pen is this, O Ali? And the fifth and last sentence for listening exercise. أَيْنَ حَقِيبَةُ الْمُدَرِّسِ. Again, translate orally. أَيْنَ حَقِيبَةُ الْمُدَرِّسِ. Meaning, where is the حَقِيبَة, the briefcase or bag of the teacher? Where is the teacher's briefcase? Okay, hopefully we had five sentences here. Hopefully everybody got all of them right. Five out of five, inshallah. If you got four or even three, alhamdulillah, this is passing at least three. You should have gotten at least three right. Otherwise, yani we'll be practicing this every week. So inshallah, as you go along, you'll get better and better at training your ear. And one of the ways to train your ear to understand what you hear in Arabic is to listen to the recordings that we have for this Medina Book 1. The recordings of Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, which we have sent the link out to the class for those who are registered with the class. Please listen to those recordings every week for each lesson, once or twice or three times, as much as possible. You know, while you're relaxing, or while you're cooking, or while you're waiting for somebody who has you on hold on the telephone, yani, listen to this as much as possible. Okay, let's go to the next exercise, and that is the dictation drill. Dictation drill. Okay. Dictation skills here, we're going to read each sentence, each question or each answer three times. The first time, just listen to make sure you comprehend what you hear and perhaps to memorize the expression or the sentence or the question. And the second time, we want you to write what you hear. The second time, after you listen to it carefully the first time, second time, we want you to write what you hear. And then we're going to read it one more time, a third time, to give you a chance to make sure that you got it right or to catch what you may have missed. Okay, we're going to have five sentences, five questions or five answers for this part of the lesson, for dictation, yani imla. Okay, the first one, Yasirun is the one who's speaking here, okay? The sentence I want you to listen to, understand, and to write down is La Hadha Kitabu Hamidin. And this was in reference to the question, is this the book of Muhammad? Oh, Yasir. Yasir says La Hadha Kitabu Hamidin. Please write this sentence down. La Hadha Kitabu Hamidin. I'm going to read it one more time. La hadha kitabu hamidin. Okay, the second one. In reference to the question, where's the book of Muhammad? Yasir says, huwa ala al-maktabi hunaka. Okay, let's write it this time. Huwa ala al-maktabi hunaka. One more time. Huwa ala al-maktabi hunaka. Third sentence. In reference to the question, where's the notebook of Ammar? Yasir says, huwa ala maktabi al-mudarrisi. In reference to the question, where's the daftar of Ammar? Yasir says, huwa على مكتب المدرس. Please write it. Again. هو على مكتب المدرس. Next sentence. Fourth sentence. In reference to the question, قلم من هذا يا علي؟ يعني, whose pen is this, O Ali? Ali says, this is what I want you to write. هذا قلم المدرس. Again, write it this time. هذا قلم المدرس. One more time. هذا قلم المدرس. Okay, sentence number 5. This is a reference to the question, where is the حقيبة of the teacher? Ali says, هي تحت المكتب. هي تحت المكتب. Okay, I want you to write it this time. هي تحت المكتب. Last time. هي تحت المكتب. هي تحت المكتب. Okay, these are 5 sentences for dictation. Inshallah, hopefully, everybody is getting better at writing what you hear. Yani, the first part of this exercise is comprehending what you hear, making sure that you are hearing correctly. And the second part is being able then to write it down without seeing the words. So that means you have to practice writing as much as possible, and that's why for the homework assignment I asked you to write out the text so that you have actually experienced writing it out. And hopefully, inshallah, if you follow our 5-step program, 5 recommended steps, you will have read each yani text 2 times, and you will have also listened to each text 2 times, and you will have also written each text 2 times. The first time copying it from the book, and the second time writing it from what you hear, from somebody reading to you or listening to the audio recording. Okay, this is what we wanted to cover for this lesson. And now we're going to go to the next lesson. Next lesson, that is lesson number 6. Okay. For lesson number 6, we're going to start again with the first part of the lesson. It's going to be vocabulary review, which is oral translation. Oral translation. And it's going to be either Arabic words that we want you to translate into English or English words that you have to translate into Arabic. Purpose of this exercise is to review the vocabulary from each lesson to make sure that we are learning the words. Because comprehension in any language requires 2 things. Number 1, knowing the meaning of words, individual words, the mufradat, the vocabulary. And number 2, understanding the grammatical structure of the sentence, the relationships between words, so that you understand them correctly. So it's important that you study the vocabulary. So this is a vocabulary review. It's just going to be oral translation. You just have to orally translate. And again, you can just put a check if you get it right and put an X if you missed it, so that you know how many you got right and how many got wrong. And then you can go back over the vocabulary and yani review those words that you may have missed. Okay, let's get busy right now. This is vocabulary from lesson number 6. And again, you should not be looking at the book, right? Because this is a review. Okay, so you're just going to train your ear. Listen to the word and see if you can translate it orally. First, I'm going to give you Arabic words, and I want you to translate them into English. And then I'll give you English words that I want you to translate into Arabic. The first word, Arabic words, al-mikwatu. Al-mikwatu. This word is written with kaf, and it's written at the end with ta marbuta. Al-mikwatu. It means an iron. Yani for ironing clothes. For ironing your clothes. Al-mikwatu. The next word, al-baqaratu. with qaf and ta marbuto on the end. Al-baqaratu. Al-baqaratu. Meaning the cow. Yani C-O-W. Like on the farm that you get milk from. The next word. Ad-darrajatu. Ad-darrajatu. With shadda on the dal because it's a sun letter, and shadda on the ra because that is a part of the, is an essential part of the word. Ad-darrajatu. Meaning the bicycle that you ride on. The next word, al-mil'aqatu, with kasra on the meme. Al-mil'aqatu, with qaf near the end and ta marbuta. Al-mil'aqatu means the spoon that you eat with. The next word, al-fallahu. Al-fallahu. Yani with shadda on the lam, and fatta elongated by aleph. Al-fallahu. Meaning the farmer that works on a farm planting crops. The next word, al-ummu. With shadda on the meme. Al-ummu. Meaning the mother. The next word, al-abu. Al-abu. Meaning the father. The next word, الثلاجتو. الثلاجتو. With shadda on the tha because it's a sun letter, and shadda on the lam because that's an essential part of the word. الثلاجتو. The refrigerator or the fridge. The next word, الشايو. الشايو. Meaning the tea that you drink, like tea and coffee. The next word, Al-Maghribu. Al-Maghribu. Meaning the west. Yani the east and the west. The next word, Al-Kahwatu. With qaf and ha as in huwa and Allahu. Al-Kahwatu. Al-Kahwatu. Meaning the coffee. Okay, let's go to the next set of words. We're going to give you an English word, and you have to tell us the meaning of it in Arabic. The first word, the nose, yani on your face, the nose that you use for smelling things, N-O-S-E. In Arabic, al-anfu, al-anfu. The next word, the mouth, M-O-U-T-H, the mouth that you speak with or that you eat through, the mouth. In Arabic, al-fahmu. Al-famu, al-famu, the mouth. The next word, cooking pot, the word for a cooking pot, a pot that you cook food in. Al-qidru, with kasra, al-qidru, al-qidru. And by the way, this word, even though it doesn't have a ta marbuta, it is a feminine word. It is feminine. The next word, ear, yani E-A-R, yani the ear, the ears that you hear with. Al-udhunu, al-udhunu. And this word also, even though it doesn't have taramabuta, it is feminine. The next word, E-Y-E, eye, the eye that you see with. Al-aynu, al-aynu, with the letter ayn. Yani, the name of this letter is Ayn, and this word Al-Ayn, it means the letter Ayn, and it also means the eye, and it also means the spy, and it also means, yani, a body of water, like a stream. The next word, and this word is feminine as well, Ayn is, and Al-Yadu, Al-Yadu, Al-Yadu. Oh, I'm sorry, I was supposed to give you the English word, and I gave you the Arabic. Okay, so the meaning of al-yadu in English is what? The hand. The hand. The hand that you grasp things with. The hand that you use for holding the pen to write with. H-A-N-D. The next word, and this word is also feminine, al-yadu, even though it doesn't have ta marbuta. The next word, leg. L-E-G. The leg that's connected to your foot that you use for walking. L-E-G. In Arabic, Ar-rijlu, ar-rijlu. And this word is also feminine. And you may have noticed that the word al-udhunu, al-aynu, al-yadu, al-rijlu, none of them have tarmabuta. What they have in common is that they are all feminine. And the way that we can remember that they are feminine is that parts of the body that you have that are in pairs, two ears, two eyes, two hands, two legs, parts of the body that are in pairs are generally feminine, even though they don't have any indication of they being feminine by ta marbuta. The next word, fast. Yani, fast, like moving fast, quickly. Fast. In Arabic, sari'un, with ayn on the end. Sari'un. The next word, window. Like the windows in a house that you look out of to see outside. Window. In Arabic, an-nafidhatu. An-nafidhatu. The next word, east, like east and west. And in the in the English key, they gave us the word sharqu for east. And perhaps, probably, it would have been better to use the word al-mashriqu, which is the opposite of al-maghribu. Since they gave us for the west, al-maghribu, then for the east, al-mashriqu. Or al-sharq, both of them mean east, but just to, yani, be in accordance with the word they gave us for west, al-maghribu, the east, al-mashriqu. Also, I want to add to the vocabulary here a word that didn't come in the vocabulary, but it came in the English key for the grammar, the word aydan, yani hamzat, hamza with fatha, ya with sukoon, baad, followed by alif, aydan, which means also. And another word that we had here we want to add to the vocabulary that didn't come in the vocabulary, not in the Arabic or English vocabulary, al-ukhtu. Al-ukhtu. Yani it's written with hamza and dhamma, khaf with sukoon and ta. Al-ukhtu. Al-flam. Al-ukhtu, which means the sister. Okay, that's the end of what we wanted to cover in terms of the vocabulary review. Now let's go on to the next part of this lesson, and that is yani the i'rab, the reading, grammatical analysis, identification of new vocabulary words for this lesson 6. But before we do that reading, we just want to mention some of the grammatical points that are new for this lesson. In this lesson we have the ism ishara hadhihi, just like we had in lesson 1, hadha, its counterpart for feminine things which are singular and which are near is yani hadhihi. So this is ism ishara lil mufrad, for things which are singular, al muannath, feminine, al qareeb, near, and it's used for aql and ghair aql, human and other than humans. Yani it's the counterpart of hadha, which is used for things which are masculine, hadhihi, used for things which are feminine. In addition, we had in this lesson, very importantly, we also had in this lesson the rule that nouns and adjectives in Arabic are made feminine generally by adding ta marbuta. Nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding ta marbuta. And the last letter before the ta marbuta is always taking the fatha vowel. So if you change mudarrisun to feminine, then you're going to add tarmabut to the end, and the last letter before the tarmabut is going to be fatha. So you're going to say mudarrisun becomes mudarrisatun, mudarrisatun. Okay, kabirun, kabiratun, saghirun, saghiratun, muhandisun, muhandasa, muhandasatun. Okay, so this is a very important rule in this lesson, that nouns and adjectives in Arabic can be made feminine generally by adding ta marbuta preceded by fatha. Also, we should say that certain nouns in Arabic have a completely separate form. Like, instead of just adding ta marbuta, they may have a separate form altogether. Like for ibnun, we have bintun, son and daughter. Ibnun, bintun. Even though you can change ibnun to feminine by adding ta marbuta, ibnatun, but also it has a completely separate word, yani, for daughter, that is bintun. And likewise, akhun, yani, you don't make it feminine, sister, by adding tarmabuta, but it has a completely separate word, ukhtun. So even though nouns and adjectives generally can be made feminine by adding ta marbuta, sometimes there's a completely separate word. Lastly, I want to say that all nouns in Arabic are either masculine or feminine. They have to either be masculine or feminine. Feminine nouns generally usually have termabuta ending, as we just said. And you can make a word feminine by adding termabuta. However, there are certain words which do not have a termabuta ending. There's no indication that it's feminine. These words, you have to learn them. As you learn new words, you have to learn that this particular word doesn't have any indication that it's feminine, but nonetheless it is feminine, and you have to just know that it's feminine. So, like some words that are very common that we use all the time, for example, yani the parts of the body that are in pairs are all feminine, like yadun, hand, rijlun, leg, aynun, ayn, udhnun, ear. So the hint here to know that they are feminine is that they are in pairs, parts of the body that are in pairs, as opposed to ra'sun, head, anfun, nose, femun, mouth, wajhun, face. These all, you only have one of them. You only have one head, one nose, one mouth, one face. Therefore, they are masculine. Okay? But there are words in Arabic which we have no hint because they are parts of the body that are in pairs and they have no indication that are feminine by termabuta, and you just have to learn them. And examples of those common words is like al-ardu, the earth. It's feminine, though it doesn't have termabuta. An-naru, fire. It's feminine, though it doesn't have termabuta. Ash-shamsu, it's feminine, though it doesn't have termabuta. So we can see that there are lots of words in Arabic that may not have a feminine ending or any indication that they are feminine. When you learn those words, you have to know that they are feminine. Okay, the other thing in this lesson that we're going to see in this lesson in terms of grammar is the preposition li. Just like we had in lesson 4, fi, wa ala, wa ila, wa min, now we have li, it means belongs to or for. This is for someone or this belongs to someone. When this preposition li is added to the word, especially the lafz al-jalala, Allah, then you just remove the aleph in the beginning of the word, Allah, and then yani it becomes lillahi. Instead of li Allahi, it becomes lillahi. This is a special rule for the lafz al-jalala, for the word Allah, when the preposition li, as in al-fatiha, alhamdu lillahi. You see that? The word Allah loses its hamzatul wasl, the aleph, in the beginning of the word. Also, we saw this word li with the word men. Yani, men means who. When you put li in front of it, li men, it means for who. Or whose is this? Or who does this belong to? Okay, that's what I wanted to mention in terms of grammar. Primarily this lesson, hadhihi, the ism ishara, used to point to things that are singular, feminine, and near. It's the counterpart of hadha, and also that nouns and adjectives in Arabic are generally made feminine by adding ta marbuta, although there are some words that have a completely different feminine form. And there are also words in Arabic that are feminine that have no indication that they are feminine. So, in this lesson we have hadhihi, we have nouns and adjectives becoming feminine by termabuta, we have the preposition li, which means for or belonging to. Okay, let's go right into our text for today, and let's read. Yani, this is the second part of the lesson, reading and translation of the selected text. We're going to be identifying new words that came for the first time in this lesson, and we're also going to be identifying and analyzing new grammatical points or relationships between words, word relationships. In this lesson especially, yani, we're going to see some of the things that we had before, in addition to seeing words that we may have had before that in their feminine form they just added ta marbuta. So they are not really new words, but yani they are the feminine form of words that we had before, in addition to the new words that we may see in this particular lesson. Okay, so this lesson, or this text, this reading, is a little bit lengthy. Okay, it's like 2.5 pages, but it's kind of spaced out, so it's not really yani. Probably they could have put it on 2 pages, but they spaced it out, yani perhaps because of the pictures, for the pictures. Okay, so we're going to read the text, identify new words, identify new grammatical points, word relationships, and so on. And then after we do that, we're going to translate and identify the new words and the grammatical points. And after we do that, we'll go to the listening skills exercise and dictation skills exercise. Okay, let's read. I'm reading from page 33. الدرس السادس, the sixth lesson, هذه, dealing with the اسم إشارة, demonstrative pronoun, هذه, used to point to things that are singular, feminine, and near. And it may be used for عاقل or غير عاقل, human beings or other than humans. هذا ابن حامد. If you join these words together, you say هذا ابن حامد, because ابن begins with حمزة الوصل. If there's something before it, we're not going to pronounce the كسرة of ابن. هذا ابن حامد. وهذه بنت ياسر. هذا ابن حامد. This is the son of Hamid, or Hamid's son. وهذه بنت ياسر. And this is the daughter of Yasir. Notice that we use هذا, masculine ism ishara, for ibnu, and we use هذه, the feminine ism ishara, for bintu. هذا ابن حامد. هذا ابن حامد. وهذه بنت ياسر. This is the son of Hamid, and this is the daughter of Yasir. Next line. ابن حامد جالس. وبنت ياسر واقفة. واقفة. ابن حامد جالس. The son of Hamid is جالس, sitting. وبنت ياسر, and the daughter of ياسر, is واقفة, standing. Here we want to note واقف. We had this word previously, I think in lesson 3, but now this is the feminine form. We just added termabuta to واقف, became waqifatun. Remember, when you add termabuta, the letter before it, the last letter of the original word, takes fatha. Ibn Hamidin, this is a construct phrase, the son of Hamid or Hamid's son. Jalisun, we had in lesson 3. Wabintu Yasirin, this is a construct phrase, the daughter of Yasir or Yasir's daughter. Waqifatun, is standing. The next line, 3. Man hadha. Man hadha. Man we had in lesson 1. Who is this, men hadihi, feminine. We're pointing to someone that is a female. Men hadihi, who is this? Answer, hadihi ukhtu al-muhandisi. Hadihi ukhtu al-muhandisi. This is the daughter of the engineer. This is the daughter of the engineer. Okay, ukht, this is a new word for this lesson. It's not in the vocabulary, but in any case, it is a new word. We haven't had it before. The opposite of akh, ukht. هذه أخت المهندسي. And this is a construct phrase, the daughter or the sister of the engineer. The sister of the engineer. Or the engineer's sister. Next line. أهي أيضا مهندسة. أَهِيَ أَيْضًا مُحَنْدِسَةٌ. Is she also an engineer, a female engineer? لَا هِيَ طَبِيبَةٌ. لَا هِيَ طَبِيبَةٌ. Is she also a female engineer? No. She is a female doctor. Okay, أَيْضًا is a new word. It means also. New word for this lesson. مُحَنْدِسَة is not a new word. We had مُحَنْدِس. But here we have its feminine form, muhandisatun. And likewise, tabibatun is not a new word. We had tabib previously, and now we have its feminine form, tabibatun. Just by adding ta marbuta preceded by the last letter of the word before ta marbuta should take fatha. Next line. Sayaratu men hadihi. Sayaratu men hadihi. The car of who is this? Or whose car is this? Whose car is this? Noting here that men is a word that is indeclinable. It's mabniyun, fixed on sukun. So even though it's the mudhaf ilayhi for sayyara, it's in the position where it should be majroor, but we don't say it's majroor and it doesn't take kasra because it's fixed on sukun. So we say it is mabniyun in the place where it should be majroor, fi mahalli jar. Sayyaratu man hadihi, hadihi sayyaratu al-mudiri, hadihi سيارة المدير with shadda on the ya. سيارة. سيارة المدير. And this is the construct phrase, سيارة المدير, the car of the مدير, or مدير's car. going down, مَا هَذِهِ What is this? مَا هَذِهِ هَذِهِ مِكْوَاتٌ هَذِهِ مِكْوَاتٌ This is an iron that you use to iron your clothes. This is an iron. مِكْوَاتٌ This is a new word for the first time in this lesson. Turn to page 34. Top of the page. لِمَنْ هَذِهِ To whom does this belong? لِمَنْ The preposition li, which is new for this lesson, and men, yani, which means who. لِمَنْ For whom or whose is this? هَذِهِ Next line. هَذِهِ لِي خَالِدٍ هَذِهِ لِي خَالِدٍ This is for Khalid. This belongs to Khalid. Again, li is a preposition, a new preposition, harf jar that we had for the first time in this lesson. Next line, adarrajatu anasin hadhihi. Adarrajatu anasin hadhihi. Is this the bicycle of Anas? Yani, literally, is darrajatu anasin, the bicycle of Anas or Anas' bicycle? Hadhihi, is this the bicycle of Anas? Next line, لا هذه دراجة عمار لا هذه دراجة عمار No, this is the bicycle of Ammar. هذه جديدة ودراجة أنس قديمة هذه جديدة يعني this bicycle is جديدة, new. وَدَرَّاجَةُ أَنَسٍ And the bicycle of Anas is قَدِيمَةٌ Old. Okay, again, دَرَّاجَة is a new word that we have for the first time in this lesson. جَدِيد is not new. We had جَدِيد before, but this is the feminine form, جَدِيدَةٌ by adding تَا مَرْبُوتَة preceded by فَتَة. And likewise, قَدِيم we had before. This is the feminine form, قَدِيمَةٌ Going to the next line. هَذِهِ ساعة علي هي جميلة جدا هذه ساعة علي This is the watch of Ali or Ali's watch مضاف مضاف إليه ساعة علي هي pronoun referring back to ساعة هي the watch of Ali هي جميلة جدا beautiful very very beautiful جدا is a new word for this lesson it means very Very, very beautiful. This also requires some explanation, which we'll learn in about maful and mutlaq in level 3 or 4. Next line. هذه ملعقة وهذه قدر This is a ملعقة, a spoon. وهذه قدر And this is a قدر, a cooking pot, a pot for cooking food. الملعقة في القدر The spoon is in the pot. ملعقتون is a new word for this lesson, spoon. And قدرون is also a new word for this lesson, cooking pot. Next line. هذه بقرة الفلاح. هذه بقرة الفلاح. This is the cow of the farmer, or the farmer's cow. بقرة is a new word for this lesson, the cow. It means a cow. And فلاح, with شدة on the lamb, فلاح means the farmer. Last line, هذا أنف وهذا فم. This is a nose and this is a فم, a mouth. Both of these are parts of the body that are singular, therefore they are masculine. Last page and last two lines, هذه أذن وهذه عين. هذه أذن, this is an ear that you listen with. وَهَذِهِ عَيْنٌ And this is an eye that you see with. Both of these are parts of the body that are double. Therefore, they are feminine. أُذُنٌ An ear. عَيْنٌ An eye. And the last line, وَهَذِهِ يَدٌ وَهَذِهِ رِجْلٌ And this is a يَدٌ, a hand. And this is a رِجْلٌ, a leg. And hand and leg, يَدٌ and رِجْلٌ are also parts of the body that are in pairs. Therefore, they are feminine. Okay, let's go now to the last part of this lesson, and that is the listening skills. in which we're going to read each sentence or statement or question twice. The first time, for you to make sure you hear it well, listen carefully, and the second time to translate orally. No need to write it down, just translate orally. And the last exercise will be dictation skills, which we will actually be writing down what we hear. Okay, let's do the first one, listening skills. This is just an oral listening exercise. You're going to listen and translate orally. Listen and translate orally without looking at the book. These exercises, books should be closed. Okay? We're going to read 8 sentences or questions or statements for listening. I'm going to read each one twice. The first time, listen carefully, and the second time, translate orally. Number 1. هذا ابن حامد وهذه بنت ياسر. Again, translate orally. هذا ابن حامد وهذه بنت ياسر. Meaning, this is the Ibn, the son of Hamid. And this feminine is the bint, or daughter of Yasir. Number 2. Ibn Hamidin jalisun, wa bintu Yasirin waqifatun. Again, translate orally. Ibn Hamidin jalisun, the son of Hamid is sitting. وَبِنْتُ يَاسِرٍ وَاقِفَةٌ. And the daughter of Yasir is standing. Number 3. هَذِهِ سَاعَةُ عَلِيٍ هِيَ جَمِيلَةٌ جِدًّا. Translate orally. هَذِهِ سَاعَةُ Aliyin. This is the watch of Ali, or Ali's watch. Hiya jamilatun jidda. And it, here, the watch, it is very beautiful. Number 4. Hadhihi mil'aqatun wa hadhihi qidrun. Al mil'aqatu fil qidri. Translate orally. Hadhihi mil'aqatun, this is a spoon. Wa hadhihi qidrun, and this is a pot, cooking pot. Al mil'aqatu fil qidri, the spoon is in the pot. Number 5. Hadhihi baqaratul fallahi. Translate orally. Hadhihi baqaratul fallahi. This is the cow of the farmer, or the farmer's cow. Number 6. هَذَا أَنْفٌ وَهَذَا فَمٌ. Translate orally. هَذَا أَنْفٌ, this is a nose. وَهَذَا فَمٌ, and this is a mouth. Number 7. هَذِهِ أُذُنٌ وَهَذِهِ عَيْنٌ. Translate orally. هَذِهِ أُذُنٌ, this is an ear that you listen with. وَهَذِهِ عَيْنٌ, and this is an eye that you see with. Number 8, the last one. هَذِهِ يَدٌ وَهَذِهِ رِجْلٌ. Translate orally. هَذِهِ يَدٌ, this is a hand. وَهَذِهِ رِجْلٌ, and this is a leg. Okay, last exercise is going to be the what? Dictation skills exercise. And I'm going to read each sentence, each statement, or each question 3 times. The first time, just listen to make sure you understand well what you're hearing. And maybe to memorize the statement so that you can write it. The second time, I'm going to read it. I want you to start writing what you hear. And the third time, we'll give you a chance to catch what you may have missed or to confirm that you have written it correctly. So I'm going to read each statement or each question 3 times. The first time, just listen carefully. Second time, write. Okay, number 1. The first one is going to be a question and an answer. Okay, each one is going to be a question and an answer. But I'm going to read it 3 times. Number 1. من هذه؟ هذه أخت المهندس. Okay, try to write it here. من هذه هذه أخت المهندس أخت المهندس. Okay, last time. من هذه هذه أخت المهندس. Who is this? This is the sister of the muhandis. You don't have to translate. We're just trying to practice our listening and writing skills. Dictation. Imla. Number two. سيارة من هذه؟ هذه سيارة المدير. Okay, let's try to write it this time. سيارة من هذه؟ سيارة من هذه؟ هذه سيارة المدير. Again. هذه سيارة المدير. Okay, I'm going to read it one more time so you can check to see what you have written and to catch whatever you may have missed. سيارة من هذه؟ هذه سيارة المدير. Okay, number three. Question and answer. ما هذه؟ هذه مكواة. Write it this time. ما هذه؟ هذه مكواة. Okay, this is the last time. ما هذه؟ هذه مكواة. Number four. Question and answer. لمن هذه؟ هذه لخالد. Let's write it this time. لمن هذه؟ لمن هذه؟ هذه لخالد. هذه لخالد. Okay, one last time. Check and see if you have written it correctly and catch anything that you may have missed. لمن هذه؟ هذه لخالد. To whom does this belong? This belongs to Khalid. Okay, the last one. Question and answer. الدراجة أنس هذه؟ لا. هذه دراجة عمار. Alright? Let's write this time. الدراجة أنس هذه. Again. الدراجة أنس هذه. لا. هذه دراجة عمار. Again. لا. هذه دراجة عمار. Okay, this is the last time I'm going to read it so you can check what you have written and to confirm that you have written it correctly. بإذنالله تعالى. الدراجة أنس هذه. الدراجة أنس هذه. Is this the bicycle of Anas? لا. هذه دراجة عمار. No, this is the bicycle of Ammar. Okay, so again, I realize that dictation may be something brand new for many of us, and therefore you might be experiencing some challenge here. This might be a little challenging. But what is important is that a person will not be able to do anything well unless they practice. So the point, the purpose of these exercises is to give us practice. To give us practice in doing these things, in listening and comprehending what we hear, and in listening and being able to write, yani what we hear without seeing it. Okay, so this is practice, and the more you practice, yani the better you become at it. So one of the ways to practice, yani this dictation, imla, one of the ways to practice is to listen to the audio recordings of Dr. Fa Abdurrahim. Listen to his audio recordings. And we usually send the link with the homework assignment. Listen to the audio recording as part of your homework assignment. And try to write. Try to write some of what you're hearing. Try to write some of the sentences. Practice. The more you practice, the easier it will become. It will become easy in the same way that it became easy for us to read these words like kitab and sarir and qalam and al-mudarris and muhandis al-tabib. And in the beginning, we didn't know these words. We didn't know their meanings. We didn't know how to write them. We didn't recognize them when we hear them. And now we're beginning to know their meanings, to recognize them when we see them, recognize them when we hear them, have the ability to write them. This comes with practice. So please, yani, busy yourselves with practice. And also, I just want to note, before we close, we have just a couple of minutes remaining. I want to remind us that we're very, very near to the month of Ramadan. And perhaps today is the 22nd of Sha'ban, inshallah. Which means that we have 7 days remaining, or at the most 8 days remaining in the month of Sha'ban, after which we'll begin the month of Ramadan. So please prepare yourselves for the month of Ramadan, yani by mentally preparing yourself, yani to do better, yani making yani a commitment to do better during the month of Ramadan than you have done before that, yani in terms of reading the Quran, making dhikr and dua, fasting, even voluntary fast, performing the prayers on time for the men in jama'ah in the masjid, and so on, getting up in the night, whatever we can do, let's get started now, so that when Ramadan arrives, yani we'll be already in motion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each of us, me and you, yani to do the things that we are doing solely for His sake alone, in accordance with the sunnah of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognize, record, accept and reward whatever we're doing for His sake alone. Pardon our shortcomings and errors and mistakes, and keep us firm upon the straight path, as-sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition of being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. May Allah heal our sick, strengthen those who are weak, and protect those who are vulnerable. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani bless the Muslims wherever they may be, and allow us to see this month of Ramadan and to worship Him during the month of Ramadan and after the month of Ramadan in a way that is pleasing to Him. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Oh, by the way, we will be probably changing the schedule, yani not for this class per se, but for the second class. During the month of Ramadan, the class, instead of being after Asr, will be before Asr, so that yani everybody is free after Asr to do whatever they got to do, whatever it might be, yani as it relates to obligations of the month of Ramadan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.